Pure Dog Talk is the podcast on purebred dogs. We talk to the legends in the sport and give you tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. Today we are going to be chatting with Wally O'Brien about tracking and all of the fun and rewarding things that you can do with a tracking test. This is an area outside of my really good expertise, so we brought in somebody that knows the ins and outs. So welcome, Wally.
Thank you very much for having me, Laura.
Very good. And Wally, can you give us, I really would like to lay out for our listeners just a basic outline. This is a tracking, this is TD, TDU, TDX, all of the different levels of titles that are available within the American Kennel Club for people to earn with their dog.
Okay, what you have is currently four different titles plus a championship title. At the two lowest levels, you have a TD test, which is essentially just held in a forest preserve or that type of location. You have a TDU that is held sort of in a corporate center location.
So the TDU is like more of an urban title, and isn't this a relatively new title?
Correct. This title has been in existence for about 2 years,
okay,
maybe a little bit longer. They both basically are about the same distance. They are around 400, 500 yards. They both have to have a minimum of three turns. And with TD, you have an article being a sock, a glove, a wallet, a belt, something like that. And it is a personal piece of clothing, if you will, that the track layer uses on the track. On TDU, there is a third article that is in approximately the middle of the track. One of the things about all of the tracks is that you go out and there's a flag with something there, let's say a scarf, and that's essentially it. And somewhere out there, 400 to 500 yards away, there's another, typically it's a glove there that the track layer has taken and put out there. And it becomes magic, so to speak, because you're out there wandering around and the dog is the one with the nose. The handlers assist in the sense, one, they keep the dog from getting tangled, which is a big job for them.
Right.
And they have to read body language of the dog more than just about any other dog sport there is. They've got to decide, yes, the dog is confident. Yes, the dog is certain that the track goes in this direction. Or no, the dog is still trying to solve this nose problem, if you will, and I need to stand here to allow the dog to solve the problem. And that's our job out there.
So that teamwork piece is really important.
Absolutely. On the two low-level tracks, you can somewhat, the term we use is dope on a rope. You can to some degree get away with that because the dogs will become so strong about indicating where the track is at that you basically aren't doing as much as you are at the higher levels.
So in other words, the handler is the dope.
Yeah, exactly. Our noses aren't developed very well, but tracks at the lower level are anywhere from a half an hour to 2 hours old. Typically, handlers will get to run them at somewhere between a half an hour to an hour. On the TDX and VST tracks, those tracks are 3 to 5 hours old. So it's a significant time jump. for the dogs, and indications can be strong, but they're not quite as strong as in TD and TDU type thing.
VST, as I understand it, is variable surface tracking. So they're not just tracking on grass, which is, as we might discuss a little bit, the grass and sort of natural vegetation holds scent better than the hard surfaces. Is that an accurate assessment?
Maybe. And what I mean, I, for a while, worked in the flavor industry, and I also was associated a bit with the fragrance industry. There is a university, the best in the world, outside of Philadelphia called Monell, and the Monell Institute evaluates things like smell, and it's things that, how well does a dryer sheet smell like hanging your clothes outside? And they've estimated that a dog's sense of smell is 10,000 times better than a human's. And the best way to have someone understand it is to think of maybe putting on pairs of gloves. And you're feeling something, and every time you feel it, you then take off a pair of gloves. So your tactile sense is getting better as you take off each pair of gloves. Now, expand that and make it 10,000 pairs of gloves.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's sort of like if I took you to a deli and I put a blindfold on you and told you the only thing you can use is your nose. And I want you and your nose to tell me where the Swiss cheese is in this deli. And that's what dogs are able to do, and humans aren't able to do. And that's why we rely on them for tracking.
So my understanding of the variable surface test, and that is when I was first getting started in dogs, back when Davy Crockett was just a boy, the TD and TDX is what you had, right? That was it.
Correct.
And so TDU has been added, VST has been added. I remember VST being added with great fanfare because it tested dogs in a more sort of what they might encounter in the real world, like a shopping center and a parking lot and a park and a, you know, what have you.
That was part of the intention of VST. The other intention was that we were running out of spaces to run TD and TDX tests. So we were looking at what else can we do to test a dog in their scenting ability, and that's where VST came up. And in answer to your other question, which I realized I didn't answer, dogs can track very well on asphalt, concrete, mulch. I went over one time as a judge a basketball court that was just rubber pads type thing. And initially when VST started, I was one of the people who helped develop some of the concepts and what we could or couldn't do. And what we learned is that the dogs can track on that. They track differently because you're reading their body language. They track differently on VST, hard surfaces, than they do on grass. And the handlers have to learn that. And at this point in time, I want to say VST has been around for about 10 years.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right.
Yeah, and handlers and that are still trying to find out exactly how to do that. With TDX, back in its day, when I first got involved in the 80s with TDX, the passing rate was under 15%. And we discovered along the way that the majority of dogs that were failing before they hit the first corner.
Interesting.
So people learned that they needed to work on starts specifically. And all of a sudden, the passing rate went up to, it's now up somewhere between 20 to 25%.
That's still, I mean, that's a pretty tough test if you're only passing 20, 25% of your dogs.
And part of the problem is just getting into a test.
Yes. So, yes, I have heard that. We could talk about how do you get into a TD and TDX test.
Not a problem. VST, it's been around 10 years, and from my perspective, with all the dogs that I've judged and with my students, people are still learning where the difficulties are. We know that dogs can track across water. That's not a particularly hard thing to do. But with VST, we know grass is easy. Is asphalt harder than cement? Is mulch harder than both of them? What type of things are going to affect it? And because you're going more an urban environment, you have buildings to deal with. And anybody who's ever walked in a big city and dealt with tunneling effect of the wind going between tall buildings, you learn that's an issue for the dogs that you have to compensate for. And as a handler, you have to read the dog in a slightly different way.
So you're talking about wind currents shifting in the city in ways that they're not going to do in a more natural environment.
Correct. Going into the woods and tracking through the woods is a totally different situation than I've taken tracks into multi-story parking garages. And even just running against the side of a building where when you get to the end of the building, they've got all these dumpsters there and gone through bus stops and other situations such as that. Or simply now you're going through all the plantings that are right next to you, or you're going over rocks that are used to create a waterfall. Again, you can go anywhere in TVX or VST.
And so then what does the champion tracker title do then? You take elements of all of them, or that one I have absolutely no clue.
All a champion, and put that in quotes because it's a lot. What you have to do is get one of the two lower level tracks, and then you have to get both the TDX and the BST title.
Okay. So the champion tracker means that you've accomplished three other titles previous to that.
Correct.
Got it. Okay. And that is a lot. And talk up a little bit about getting it. I mean, I know a few people who do tracking and the wailing and moaning and gnashing of teeth when they're alternate number seven.
And that's good to alternate.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I've been involved in tests that I tried to get. Chicago has historically been one of the hot spots for tracking in the United States. I know it's changed, but at one time we had about a third of all the tracking tests in the United States.
Wow.
And what you get is a situation, the passing rate for TD is about 75%. TDU is still so new that it's probably in that 20% range. And so you have 75% that is feeding into a test where instead of 12 tracks being available for exhibitors, there are 6 tracks available. So you run into that situation. And again, back in the 80s when I was doing this, it wouldn't be unusual to have an alternate list of 30 dogs trying to get into one of 6 spots. And that coupled with the passing rate, you know, your odds were what they are. Tracking in terms of the number of people that are required to put in a TDX track per exhibitor is higher than any other dog sport that I know.
Interesting. So very, like, labor intensive to do this.
Very. Now, with, let's say, a TD or TDU test, as a minimum, you could get by with maybe 6 people to put in 12 tracks. And everybody would be putting in 2 tracks. With a 6-dog TDX track, you need a minimum of about at least a dozen people.
Oh, my gosh.
You'd prefer to have 18.
And is that because you need to have different people in the TDX? Do you have different track layers for each section? Or why the number of people? That's like 3 people per track.
Exactly. And ideally, if you could have that, that's what you'd do. And the reason for that is, in addition to going from a maximum of about 500 yards, TDX track can almost double that. So you have the track layer themselves, and you have to have cross-track layers where other strangers come in and have to cross the track at various points in the track as a diversion problem for the dog. Again, that's how you end up with three per track if you could get it. And sometimes you don't, and you have to use one person for maybe two tracks. And there's rules about who can be where. You don't want the same person putting in tracks that are next to each other. It's just you're asking the dog to solve a problem that's a little bit too difficult. And VST, it's eight tracks, and essentially you're in that situation where ideally, you'd like one person per track. Sometimes you end up, again, with one person putting in two tracks type thing. So,
okay, so what you're telling us is we need more tracking clubs out there, listeners.
All the time. And part of the issue there is that here in Chicago, as I said, I know we still have more tests than any other part of the country. As a judge, I've seen people fly in from California, Texas, New York State, and Florida just to get into a test. And it's because those areas, they have more judges now than they used to have. But if you get someplace like even in Wisconsin, there might be three or four judges in the entire state that are doing tracking tests. So what you end up with is tracking doesn't make a lot of money because of the small numbers involved. And when a club has to do something like I judged in Kentucky early in the spring, even if I do it for free, they still end up paying for my gas, a motel for two nights, food. And you have to have two judges for a test at any level. Even if they have a local judge and me, now you're splitting all those costs over, at the lowest number, six people. So again, the clubs don't make a lot of money at this. That's part of the issue. It's getting people to become judges.
So that's my question. AKC has the new sport called nose work that would seem to me, I was talking to David Haddock about Rally being a feeder program for obedience. Are you seeing nose work and hoping that nose work will be sort of a feeder program for tracking?
They are so different in terms of what the dogs are functionally doing that, no, it doesn't.
Doesn't cross over.
Correct. The last thing that the AKC did to try to encourage more interest in tracking was to come up with the VCD 1, 2, etc., hoping that people, because tracking was one of the venues where people could get a title that would allow them to get one of the VCD titles.
For our listeners who don't know, what is a VCD?
Versatile Companion Dog.
Okay. And this is another titling opportunity from AKC, is that correct?
Yes, what it amounts to, and I haven't looked at those rules in a while, but it amounts to you have to get titles in various performance events. So you'd need an obedience title and then an agility title and a tracking title. And it doesn't have to be just those three venues. It can be other venues. I know that hunt work is one of the titles that you can get in field dogs. And that's where there's more of a crossover, if you will, is the field dog work, because they're still using their nose. The big difference is that in field dog work, in search and rescue work, and things such as that, you run into the situation where you want the dog to go as quickly as possible from the start to whatever the reward or ending is. So in a hunt test, if a bird made a huge U, if they went from the start to the bird right away, they pass. In tracking, that doesn't work. In tracking, the dog has to take that U. And there are things that are set up in the rules to try to make the distance between the various parts of the track in such a way that it discourages the dog from going to the start to the end. And as a judge, you pay attention to things like that. You don't want a crosswind on the track in such a way that it would encourage the dog to skip part of the track type thing. They can functionally do it. I've seen dogs that could be 100 to 200 yards off a track and come back to the track. They wouldn't pass because they'd be failed before they got that far off, but I've seen dogs do that.
And my guess would be they would be bird dogs, because bird dogs, they scent and they use the scent in such a different way. And the little bit of tracking that I've been involved with was bird dog people who said, but they, you know, it's the same problem you're describing.
Also in man trailing and search and rescue work, those dogs can also do those type of distances without a problem.
How does someone, how does one of our listeners get started? Say, I've got 10 friends and we want to make a tracking club and we want to put tracking titles on our dogs. How do we get started with this?
The easiest way is to find a judge, and you can do that off the AKC website. And the judges, some of them, as with myself, we teach. And there's rules about, as with obedience, when people can and can't show under me if they're a student of mine. But on the other hand, if somebody called me, I could, off the top of my head, put them in touch with 7 or 8 or 9 clubs in this area that would have a tracking program of some sort. And in other areas, if you're in Bismarck, North Dakota, there's going to be less tracking clubs and people doing it. In my case, I actually started in the German sport of Schützen, now called IPO, and then ended up, when I finally found out that there was AKC tracking available, I ended up shifting over to AKC tracking. But that's another way that if you couldn't find anything else, if you connected up with one of those clubs, they could at least get you started in tracking.
For training purposes and that sort of thing.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And some of the clubs will let you come out and just do tracking and not do anything else type thing. And then in my evolution, and I've seen it with other people, I run a Facebook page for tracking. And I will get a fairly good number of people who don't have anybody that they can track with. And they will get on there and ask questions about, well, how do I do this? Or I'm having that problem or this problem. And then they'll get going from there. And in my case, what happened was I went through it and I saw that no one was teaching AKC tracking. So I started teaching it after I'd put, I think, 2 tracking titles on dogs at TD level type thing. So, yeah, it evolves, and it's like anything else. The more people that get interested, the better it is. And I don't know if you've ever been through this situation, but when you have a situation where everybody is meeting once a week, in my mind, there's a sort of internal pressure that, well, I'm going to see everybody this week. I don't want them to think that I didn't do anything during the week to train my dog.
Right. Peer pressure keeps you going.
Exactly.
And one last thing for our listeners. Say I have a brand new puppy. It's 8 weeks old. And one of the things that along the way I want to teach it is tracking. Give us one good tip to start your young or old dog on a goal of a tracking title.
It is like lots of other things that happen with dog training, and that's that you have to find what motivates the dog the most. And typically with most dogs, it's food. But you can also use people, that if the dog loves people, you'll put a person at the end of the track for the puppy, and when the puppy gets to the end, they just get praised tremendously. And aside, I had a student with a black and tan coonhound that we were trying to get more motivated. And I told her she had to find something that really turned this dog on. And her comment was, I refuse to bring my living room couch out to the tracking field. So,
Oh, that's fabulous. Okay, well, Wally, thank you so very much for your time. I really appreciate
it. No problem.
Tracking is something that I think is sort of a hidden gem in our sport, so thanks for sharing about it for our listeners.
Not a problem. Thank you again, and thank you for your time.
No problem.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. This will help share the love with others out there in the sport. This has been Pure Dog Talk with your host, Laura Reeves. We hope you can join us next time as we continue on the journey to success with your purebred dog.